Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor, with a Tuesday episode of Hardwood Handicappers. Today is March 24th. We are recording at 9:15 a.m. Eastern, and we have a couple of games to talk about for the NBA slate. Today, I am joined by Kelly Bidlin, co-host of A Numbers Game and the co-host of the Long Shots podcast. Kelly, what's going on?
I'm doing great, Zach. How are you, man?
I'm good. I don't know if you've heard, but there's a heat wave in Arizona, and I am the only thing that's keeping it cool over here because I have been very cold with my NBA picks.
That's brutal, man. That's brutal. We got to peel back the curtain. That was the take two on Zach, and he's made the same joke about himself, man. It's brutal. Yeah. Don't say it. No, it's been look, it was a great few weeks for me. I join you, Zach. It was a great few weeks for me out of the All-Star break. And oh my God, the last week I've been getting my ass kicked. So yeah, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I felt I was. I made a like little push towards, you know, a goal I had in mind. And then lately it's just been all bad. I can't get the Lakers right. Yeah, you know, I bet against them.
Right there. Yeah,
I'm then same, I took them last night and then they lost and it was just terrible. I take Luka and he turns into James Corden.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I was at Lakers last night too. Same damn thing. Yeah, it's been, man, Rockets, Lakers, especially those two teams. It's like just picking on them or against them, and the wrong nights, man. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, but hopefully we'll get back on track tonight. It is only a 4-game slate. I was saying this off the air to somebody, I don't remember who, but it's just crazy that like we have these games, these nights without March Madness, and the NBA doesn't show up with like an awesome slate. I mean, I don't have a lot of complaints about like the final 3 games of the night. Like there's a few good ones, but they should have some heavy hitters on these nights where there's no March Madness.
I just don't get like, okay, you can look ahead to tomorrow and you could be like, I guess the counter is, well, there's like a ton of games tomorrow. Like, well, I haven't even counted them up. Looks like there's like 12 or something tomorrow night. Like there's a ton. So like you could, that's the counter, I guess, right? Is like the night before we resume March Madness we have, but like just even it out. Like we don't need this. You don't need 4 one night and then it's too many tomorrow night to keep track of everything that's going on. I don't know. Yeah. I could complain about sports scheduling all day.
Yeah, well, they should have at least one good game in each doubleheader slot when there's no college basketball on. I know you've mentioned the idea of like potentially being able to flex these games. I don't know how difficult that would be, but like the last night, no one wants to watch Warriors Mavericks with no Steph. It's just bizarre. So yeah, hopefully we get some good games tonight. There, like I said, there are 3 good ones on the card. We'll get into all 4. I mean, because I do have a play in the first game. So we'll start with Kings Hornets. That is probably the worst game of the night. I don't know why I said probably. It is the worst game of the night. The Hornets are massive favorites in this game, 16.5 points. Total's 229.5. And I don't know if you have anything here, but I ended up taking a player prop on Dylan Cardwell over 12.5 points and rebounds combined at -115. I actually kind of forecasted that like this is going to turn into a blowout. And Cardwell is the type of player that plays a little bit more when these are lopsided games. So he's averaging 6.4 points per game and 9.4 rebounds per game in 20-plus point losses. Plays 25-ish minutes per game in those games. So I just think he's going to get some more garbage time minutes. I also think I could see him playing a little more in actual time just because it is a game where you're going against Musa Diabate. That's an energetic, athletic center that, you know, has just all types of ways of kind of dominating the paint with his energy. I think Cardwell might be needed to dust it off a little bit earlier just because he is kind of a defensive-minded player that hits the glass a little bit.
Well, congratulations to Hardwood Handicappers listeners out there. If you have made it this far into the season, you finally got to a Dylan Cardwell prop dropped on the show. Okay, all right. That's where we're at in the NBA season. I feel like that's like the 10,000th customer. There should be a giveaway or a prize giveaway or something for that, Zach. Yeah, wow. Zach's going with that player prop. That is what kind of game we have tonight with Sacramento and Charlotte facing off against each other. It's gross. I think this is the 5th time that the Kings have been underdogs of 15 or more points in a game this season. It's disgusting. Hornets, look, still absolutely have a lot to play for. It's just amazing to think about how well they have played since January 1st, how well we've documented. Everybody in the NBA media versus has documented how well the Hornets have played since January 1st. And it's still the limited amount of ground that they've been able to climb up the standings. It's just wild. It's just insane. Like, they still got things to play for, though. This Hornets team, I think LaMelo's figured out he really enjoys squashing these teams that are really bad, and he's letting it fly more on nights like that. I have no bet here, Zach. It would be laying it with the Hornets, though, if anything.
Well, you don't think that Dylan Cardwell over points and rebounds is a good slump buster?
That's my favorite NBA bet of the year. That's my favorite NBA bet of the year. Love it.
I've had some good ones. All my weird ones I feel like lose to. I had that Nick Batum like over 5.5 that I gave to you and Gil on a numbers game once. Yeah, we'll see about this one. But yeah, I did look into LaMelo Ball first quarter points over 4.5 because that's something that he seems to regularly do is – he's been scoring like 6 to 8 in the first quarter, but it was like -155. Don't really feel like dealing with that type of juice, so I stayed away from it. But yeah, ugly, ugly game. If it wins, we'll call the show Cardwood Handicappers moving forward. But yeah,
I like that look on LaMelo, Zach. The other thing I guess worth noting, and I would only do it because it's this matchup, but Khan did show up on the injury report. He's listed as probable. Which, you know, I think most other games, like the season matters too much. I wouldn't probably read into that too much, but against this team, we just keep an eye on that one throughout the day. You see a downgrade to questionable or something later in the afternoon. That might be a little signal that he's going to miss the game. And then I think, yes, whether it's LaMelo, Miller, wherever you want to look, I think there's some upside on some player props over.
Yeah, Kobe White's only at 14.5, too, so that's a guy that could play a little bit more if Knipple's out, so maybe that's worth a look. I mean, he's also played really well for them, 18-plus points in 3 of the last 4, so that might be, you know, the way to go if you think that Knipple might miss this game. Big game for Knipple, though, because, I mean, Flag somehow sticking around in the Rookie of the Year odds. I don't know if I actually view the race as this close, but he's still right there. I mean, I think the Knipple's -185 to win Rookie of the Year. Flag had a big game on national TV last night. Maybe it's as simple as that, but did end up losing. He had a LeBronian kick out instead of going for the win, and it ended up being Najee Marshall missing the game winner. But yeah, they did end up losing that game. But yeah, it's the Rookie of the Year odds are way tighter than I thought they would be still.
I'm glad to hear you say that, I guess, Zach, because I thought once Cooper Flag got back, and now he's up to 59 games played, in part like one of the big parts of my case was that he was flirting with playing the least amount of games in a full-length season for a Rookie of the Year winner. And that was always kind of part of my case for back in Khan like a month ago, you know, a month and a half ago when we were on here talking about it. And now that he's kind of gotten back and been playing these games, I'm actually surprised, Zach, it hasn't gotten a little tighter. So I've actually been given a little bit of confidence in my Khan positions just because there hasn't been much movement. But if you're saying that, maybe it makes sense and maybe I will still have my antennas up. But hopefully things are looking good.
I think that what I've noticed with Flag is there's just been way less of those scoring outbursts than there was kind of midway through the season when this all really started. I mean, there was last night's 32-point game, but outside of that, it's been under 20 in a lot of these games. So
yeah.
I don't really know. Maybe I'm missing something, but, you know, they've been losing. I don't think that he's been playing entirely well. He hasn't been playing as well as he was earlier in the year. So I guess I would have expected Khan to pull away a little bit. But yeah, last night was a huge performance, 32 points, 9 assists. So Khan does need to come back, in my opinion, you know, have a decent game and not a bad opponent to have to do it against. But yeah, you know, being probable definitely hurts that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was I kind of updated all their all my numbers on these guys this morning. So it's like those last 10 games, both of them, both Flag and Knipple, just everything kind of across the board is just ticked down slightly stat-wise, kind of where we've seen them points per game, that rebounds, that kind of stuff throughout the season. Both of them have ticked down, but it's not really, but it's comparable. Both of them have barely moved, but it is slightly down for both of them.
Yeah, and I guess not surprising considering like we're deep into their rookie seasons and, you know, around the time of the year where these guys might hit a rookie wall. But yeah, hopefully we see Khan get across the finish line because I've doubled down on that play. And, you know, I'm not even at a point where if Flag wins, I'll end up winning anything. So needed to be Khan at this point.
Yeah, I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you. I've been loaded up on Khan position. I did buy off a little bit when Flag was announced coming back. But yeah, I'm still loaded up on Khan positions.
All right, well, let's move on to Pelicans-Knicks. From here, I do think that the games get a little bit better. New Orleans in Madison Square Garden, they are 8.5-point underdogs. Total is 231.5. Do you have anything in this game? I believe you do.
Yeah, I do. Smallish bet for me, but I did bet the Pelicans. It's I took 9.5, like -115 this morning. I saw it a little bit basically open 9.5 everywhere. We're down to 8.5 pretty much across the board in this game tonight. I think it makes sense. I think the market movement makes sense. This Pelicans team quietly, like I hate to give them any credit, you know that, Zach, because this is a team you and I have been high on in years past, just have not been able to get this ship righted here. 6-4 in their last 10. They got a 6.3 net rating over that time. That is the eighth best in the NBA. They have a top 10 offense and defense over that time. They have a seventh best defense over the last 10 games. It's pretty shocking to me to look at. Look, the Knicks have been solid. They're 7-3 over that same time frame. They have a plus 8.0 net rating. That is seventh best, just ahead of where the Pelicans are at. This is a rock solid team, this Knicks squad. I'm not actively looking to fade them. That isn't a play here against the Knicks, just more on the Pelicans. We're 8-1 ATS in their last 9. Also, some of that, those Knicks numbers, they have been killing some of these tanking teams. Wins gets Washington, Brooklyn, Indiana, not tanking, but Golden State's not good, Indiana, Utah. All that has been factored into those numbers as well. So you also get a one-day rest advantage for New Orleans here, 2 days off versus 1 for New York. So, look, man, it's a smaller play for me. I still think this is a massive mismatch in talent and just where these two teams are at in the season. Yes, we have noted in detail the Pelicans don't have a draft pick to necessarily go tank for to lose games here. So, yeah, they're going to mess around and win some. It's also not like they're chasing a playoff spot or anything down the stretch here. I'm sure there's a lot of minds that are on offseason things already in New Orleans. But yeah, I took them small plus 9.5 here tonight against the Knicks teams that has a lot to play for still.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that there's a rest advantage is definitely helpful. 2 games off for New Orleans, you know, New York played on, what, Sunday? So it's a good spot for the Pelicans, at least. And, you know, it is hard to get up for these games when you're, like, the players on New Orleans and you have nothing to play for. But I think every player gets up when they play in the Garden, so you at least have that going for you as well. And, yeah, this team has been a little bit better lately. Not sure I understand their rotations at all, but I do think it's a team that is at least trying to put their best foot forward for, like, next season and beyond. I'm sure James Borrego, you know, used this as an opportunity for him to take this job and keep it. So, you know, playing well the rest of the season and the players playing hard for him, maybe that, you know, helps them as well. And the Knicks, for as good as they have been this year, a little bit hard to trust in these types of games. So I think 9.5 is a pretty good number. I took Sadiq Bey over 17.5 points at -115. Kind of something I've been going to a lot is Bey's player props. I just feel like he's priced a little bit too low. I think the issue is he has a pretty low usage rate for a player that scores like 20 plus points, but yeah, he does do it really consistently. He's had 19 plus in 4 straight. He's gone over tonight's number of 17.5 in 13 of the last 16 games. And the Knicks do not defend, you know, spot up shooters very well. I do think Bey can knock down a couple threes. And then obviously he's also, you know, a pretty tough scorer, like in the mid post and around the basket. So I think the Knicks have great defensive wings in Bridges and Anunoby, but for whatever reason, for like 1.5 years, those guys have not looked it. You know, I think maybe it's just the trickle down effect of playing with Brunson and Towns, but it just hasn't looked the way that I think we all thought it would when they, you know, paired Anunoby and Bridges together. So I think Bey will be able to find some success against some of, you know, the Villanova brethren on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sadiq Bey, but yeah, he's what an underrated player. He's just always playing in meaningless spots and meaningless teams. But yeah, this is go fill it up. And yeah, you and I will have the same conversation about the Knicks wings for the next 2 months, 3 months. It's just it's the same thing, right? I'm with you. It is. They have to be better. Those guys have to be better if they're gonna win. It's always Brunson and Kat that are getting destroyed by the media, but those two have to be better too.
And then we'll pick against them in the playoffs, and they'll play really well like they did against the Celtics last year.
That'll be exactly. Yep. I mean, that's the other part. You never know. Like, you never know when OG is going to go drop 40 on you, and you're like, oh yeah, okay, like that could happen too. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll say this about the Knicks: I do feel like they're like a really good flip to switch team that like understands big games. I think we saw it in the NBA Cup for whatever you want to count that as, but I do think that they get up for big games. So like, I do think that there's this kind of whole season has been a bit of like a lull you to sleep situation, where once the playoffs do kick in, I think that there's a really good chance that they just look like a completely different team.
Yeah, they just real quick to pivot to some of those Eastern Conference thoughts, Zach. I think you know every step of the way I've still said Knicks this whole season, and like begrudgingly it's been Knicks. So like I'm not haven't been convinced enough by these other teams. Yes, I think where we're at right now, the Celtics should be the favorites to win the East. I think the fact that Tatum's back already looking as good as he is already, I'm impressed by. I wasn't fully convinced that they were going to be able to get him back at this level this quickly. So yes, I think they should be the favorites. I think Zach Lowe said it best on his pod the other day when I was listening. And this is kind of how I've just always felt about the Knicks all season long. It's just, they have the highest floor. I just believe in how high their floor is compared to all these other teams, whether it's Detroit, Boston, Cleveland, that we're going to compare them to. It's, yeah, you're talking about the flip the switch thing. I agree. But when you can roll out Brunson, Cat, just this group of talent every night, I think Lowe put it perfectly. It's just the high floor that has never really had me looking away from them. And I'm looking for another Eastern Conference team to step up. And I think that's Boston. I think they have passed by them. But man, if I had to go still put in a bet right now, I had to put a bet in on a team to win the Eastern Conference, it would still be the Knicks.
Yeah, so it's interesting you say that, because I agree that the Knicks have the highest floor. I still think the Cavs have the highest upside. So I actually do think that I have the Cavaliers' future, so still feel good about those. As long as Jared Allen comes back at some point in the near future, I feel like Cleveland's going to be the most dangerous team in a best of seven. But I do think the Knicks are the most reliable in the Eastern Conference. I'm not there with the Celtics still. I think the Tatum looks like... I'm impressed that he's playing 30 plus minutes, but I think defensively he looks a step slow. I think there's so much missing from last year's team that people like are kind of discrediting, like Drew Holiday, Al Horford, Kristaps Porzingis, who never played because he was always sick, but they just have a lot of guys missing from that team, and they've replaced them with like very serviceable young rotation players. But mm-hmm. I don't know that those are guys that are going to look the part in the postseason or be reliable to do the things. Like, I think that Baylor Shireman might be the type of guy that can't guard in the playoff series, and Hugo Gonzalez might be the type of guy that can't make enough shots in the playoff series. Like, I can see that being problematic for them, and I think the center position is still a major question mark.
Yeah, I am so glad you just brought all of that up, Zach, because it really is. There are too many people doing exactly what I just did, and you're only focusing in on this Tatum point. And yes, I think a lot is forgotten about what else was lost last year. And you just said it perfectly. There's nothing else to say. I think there are major questions. It's fine with how some of these guys are looking in the regular season. How do they look like? What do they look like when they get into a playoff format? I think it's a much different story.
Yeah, and like they are much better than I thought they would be. I actually said like after the deadline, like I wish that they were a little bit more aggressive and maybe trying to make the Zubac mm-hmm. trade that the Pacers made, because I think that they are that close. It's just I do think that they're missing something. I think that like this is all a really good sign for them, but I just don't really see it this year. I think a lot of people are putting them in the finals, and I think that they're maybe a year away, an off season away of just letting Stevens kind of cook around a healthier roster.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, well, before we move on to the next couple of games, if you're looking to sharpen your edge this NBA season, VSiN Pro is where to start. Get advanced analytics, player prop projections, and expert insights used by serious bettors every day. Try it out for only $9.99 for your first month and see what smart bettors are using to beat the books. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe and check out all of the subscription options. I keep saying I absolutely love that deal, especially for this time of year. You get all of our college basketball stuff, you get all of our NBA stuff, but then also MLB's starting, tomorrow and really Thursday with the full slate. So a lot of stuff on the website right now. Adam Burke does a really good job. Jensen Lewis on the network, you know, played in the MLB. That's pretty cool. Like we all talk about NBA all the time. None of us played and touched an NBA floor. Jensen was actually an MLB pitcher. Yeah.
I know it might look
like I played for like the Bob Cousy Celtics, but I did never played in the NBA.
Dude, I thought Dylan Cardwell was betting Zach Cohen props back in the day, man.
I did once have to go into the CBS sports office to film a fantasy football show, and somebody thought I was Nick Stauskas, which is looking back on it now, it's insulting.
Oh, that's great.
All right, well, let's move on to the Magic at the Cavaliers, 8 p.m. Eastern tip. Magic playing their third game in four nights, also second leg of a back-to-back. 2 days of rest for Cleveland. Do you have anything in this game?
I do not. I would say my numbers still point a little bit towards Orlando at this being too many points that they're getting. Yes, the rest situation, not ideal. I still have zero faith in this Orlando team, despite some better play, I guess, of late. Yeah, it would be magic in the points, but no, I'm a pass on this one, Zach. I do think like this Cavs team, I think they do have some things to figure out down the stretch of the regular season here, and including getting Jared Allen back, as you brought up earlier, was playing so well with Harden when Harden first got there. I think people forget that. Big number though tonight. It would be magic or nothing for me, and I think I'm going to stay on the sidelines.
Yeah, and I will add, like, I don't have anything here, but I did have a lean on the Magic as well. I did look back because I do feel like this Orlando team does respond well to bad losses, and they are 50-44 against the spread under Jamal Mosley when coming off a home loss. I do think that there is something to them, you know, coming back from a close loss and getting another crack at it the next night. I think the Cavaliers in pretty bad shape when you look at the injury report, not just because of Allen, but also no Jalen Tyson.
Yeah.
I just think that this team, you know, is missing a little bit of their defensive intensity that they need. So if it were anything for me, I'd probably go with the Magic on the spread. Although maybe later I'll end up adding like Cavaliers on the money line in a parlay or something. I did look into before Cavaliers and Knicks. It was a little too pricey for me, especially considering I do have some doubts about the Knicks tonight. So really nothing here for me. I might end up adding some player props later, but as of right now, it's just an Orlando lean and nothing.
Yeah, right there with you.
Yep. All right, well, then let's move on to the last game of the night, which I do think is the game of the night. It's the Nuggets at the Suns. Nuggets are 5.5-point favorites. Total is 233.5. Still a pretty crowded injury report for the Suns. I mean, no Dylan Brooks still, no Mark Williams. You know, one of the local beat writers over here, John Gambadoro, who's like very close to the team, did say that those guys are coming back very soon. He said that it could be as early as this weekend for Williams and possibly Brooks as well. So, you know, the Suns will be getting some reinforcements in there soon, but Phoenix has been cold. They just has not looked good. They did come back and, you know, win a pretty good game against Toronto last game, did it pretty convincingly in a game that I think that Toronto looked like they had some sharp money on their side, but I don't know. This is a really tough spot for the Suns. 5.5 points doesn't seem like enough. If this was like 7.5, I maybe would have looked to Phoenix, but I actually, if it were anything for me, it'd be the over, which has come down from 237.5 to 233.5. So a little bit more palatable at this moment, but I don't think either of these teams are going to be able to guard each other.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have a lot of faith here. This is like, man, I never look at these big stars over, but like Jokic should have a huge night. Right? Yep. Like this is, there's not a lot there on Phoenix to get in his way. Look, from the spread perspective, this is probably a little too much. I was just checking though. You brought up that Toronto game, and you are right. I know there was some sharp action that did come in on that. But Toronto is 4.5-point favorites. Denver 5.5 right now in the spot. That's kind of notable. This opened like 5. I'm not shocked at all to see it. A little Nuggets movement. I have the Nuggets side circled. They would be the only one I'd be interested in here. I'm going to wait and look at this live, though. I don't think I'm going to do anything pregame here. This number's too rich at 5.5 to go lay a pregame. But I think Jokic should have his way. I think this should be a Nuggets spot here tonight, but I'm not running to lay this play pregame, Zach, but I will be looking at Denver live, and I think there could be some player prop situations here.
Yeah, actually, this doesn't happen often on the show, but I was waiting for a number on Rashear Fleming to pop up, and it just did. 6.5 points total. He has had 8+ in 4 straight, and 8+ in 5 of the last 6. And I just mentioned kind of, I think this game is going to end up going over. Part of the reason I think that is I do think that Oso Iguodaro is going to be a little bit too small for the Joker, and the Suns might just have to lean into playing 5 out with Fleming a little bit more. So I think Fleming over 6.5 is worth a look. He has been like playing really well on both ends of the floor for the Suns. And honestly, like, for as bad as Phoenix has been over the last couple of weeks, one of the silver linings, at least that I've seen, is that Fleming and Kemal Malawach both look really, really good. So, you know, the Suns actually have some really nice young pieces. But yeah, this is a game where I think the Fleming scores 7+. It's just going to be, he's going to need to stay out of foul trouble because it will be tempting for him to kind of swipe these better players. And you just never know.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. I would expect Phoenix to mix, at least mix in some small ball looks tonight, right? Like that is, I think that's probably one of their best ways to attack this Denver team and win. And yeah, I mean, I think you kind of hinted at it before too. It would definitely be a lean to the over in this game as well. I think that there is, especially if you want to go Denver team total over too, I think is probably the best pregame look of anything is where I would head tonight. But yeah, I would expect Phoenix to make some type of an adjustment with the lineup to counter Jokic and what Denver's going to bring, and that's probably going to be lead small. That's probably going to lead to speeding up this game a little bit, and make for some easy buckets on both sides.
Yep, completely agree. I guess you know we wanted to talk some futures today because there aren't that many games. Don't have too long. Kelly's got to get over to Gil for a numbers game. But I did want to ask you, where do you stand right now with Denver now that they have everybody back? This is a really important couple of weeks for them, I think, to kind of make a push and build some chemistry. But I have noticed, I mean, it's really easy to notice when he's playing well because he was so bad early in the year. But Cam Johnson all of a sudden looks like he's really comfortable there. Saw him knock down like a really deep three, you know, last game where I was like, all right, this guy feels comfortable taking whatever shot he wants now. This is where they go from here. Like, this is the next step of their offense. So Denver over the next couple of weeks, building chemistry is big, and they need to catch this OKC team, which is starting to look incredible again.
Yeah, this is I'm glad you brought him up, Zach. I don't know about you. I have zero conference futures bets, I believe, right now, or NBA Finals futures bets. Do you have anything?
I do. I have the Nuggets to win the NBA title at +850. I also have the Timberwolves to win the West, which I don't feel great about anymore, like 24-1 or something like that. I got to go look back. It was either 23 or 24, and I have 45-1 to win the NBA Finals, which is not going to happen.
So, I forgot I have the Atlanta Hawks at 55-1 to win the Eastern Conference from last July. You know, those bets you made 9 months ago that you're really regretting. okay, so yeah, I do have one. I lied. I do have the Atlanta Hawks. But yeah, this is so I think this conversation's interesting, Zach, because I've been in the camp since before the season of saying I will be in on the Denver Nuggets at some point to win the Western Conference. I think that this is their year, especially after watching some of the struggles from OKC during the playoffs last year, watching Jalen Williams struggle to get healthy and kind of get back out there on the court regularly this year. It's been injury after injury that has kind of held me back from betting Denver. And you've had the rise of the San Antonio Spurs, which I think is very notable. And I don't think should be dismissed at all. I think it's a fair point to make, Zach, but kind of like people are doing with Boston and Tatum. And that's the only thing they're kind of talking about. I keep hearing the they're too young. They haven't been there. They can't do it. I don't know if I'm ready to put a cap on Wemby and what this team can do. Especially with a lot of the rest of the West starting to not look all that great. Like, I think this is probably a three-ish team race with San Antonio, with OKC. And if Denver can get in the conversation, maybe Minnesota can get in there too. Maybe the Lakers can too. I think right now though, San Antonio and Oklahoma City are kind of in a tier by themselves in the Western Conference. However, if you're someone like me who said that about Denver at the beginning of the season and they're finally getting healthy now, you can get them at a price that isn't too short. What are you waiting for? And I think that's where I'm at right now, Zach. I haven't bet them yet. I think I'll be getting involved, though, with Denver futures here in the next week or two. I've been saying for months, I've just been waiting for this point for them to kind of get back healthy and looking healthy, and they are. And I think they're only through the course of regular season here, I think they're only going to continue to look better, more familiar with each other. These guys just finally getting minutes together is important. Jokic getting further and further removed from that injury, hopefully getting these turnovers slowed down and stuff like that. I think this team should start to look a lot sharper, and this price is going to get shorter. So now is probably the time to get in if you are considering a Nuggets future like I am. I haven't done it yet, but definitely on my radar and probably something I'm doing here in the next week or so.
Yeah, by the way, I am with you with the Spurs. I don't think it's too soon. I think if they go out in the playoffs, it's not going to be because those young guys didn't perform at a high level. It's going to be because they are a little bit behind, like on the wing and with their veterans, than I think that they should be, because, given how good the young guys are. I think that, like, we've talked a little bit about them, like, not being as aggressive as maybe they should have, getting like a Kevin Durant. That's where they fall short in the postseason, if it's anywhere, because I do think that those guys – I trust Castle. I trust Harper. I definitely trust Wemby to play really well in a playoff series. It's just, do they have enough firepower on the wing? Like, is Harrison Barnes good enough? Which the answer has been no throughout his career. So that's kind of why I think that maybe they are, you know, a step below those top two teams, in my opinion, in the Thunder and the Nuggets. But I don't think it's going to be because they're too young. I think it's just that the team around them might not be good enough.
I think it's a combination of that, Zach, and kind of like we talked about with Boston in the playoffs, right? So just a team having okay, it's seven. We have seven games to figure out what we want to do with Victor Wembanyama. Let's throw the kitchen sink at him, right? Like it's try everything. We're going to show them stuff that they have not seen the whole regular season. You know that there are teams sitting on stuff to throw at Wemby, and Wemby's so good. I don't know if any of it's gonna work. But I think that would be the other side of it. Is we just walk away and we go, okay, well, like this is we saw Minnesota throw stuff at him that he just has not seen all year, and shut him down for a couple games, and that's enough to get by.
Yeah. And it is the type of thing that, like, the standings are so weird and close right now that, like, a lot of it will end up being matchups. So we'll see. Like, the Lakers are good enough to win a series against one of these good teams. I don't know that I see them winning three, but I am, you know, bought in enough now that like, I do view them as a threat in the first round. I kind of wonder, like, if they were to play the Timberwolves again this year, if they would beat them. I could see it. You know, just they're a better team than they were a year ago. Luka is just in so much better shape. It's crazy. I've seen now, like, there's side-by-sides, like, floating around Twitter, and it's just, like, crazy. Seeing what he looked like last year, I'm sure some of it's, like, AI or something, but just a completely different person, and the team looks a lot better. So it's going to be very matchup-dependent. I guess we'll see what happens the rest of the way. Like, it's crazy that only 2.5 games separates 3 and 6.
If you're looking to bet Denver, do you think it should be a wait to see if this clears up a little bit more in the playoff picture, so you can kind of pick the path a little bit more? I don't really know that it matters to me. I think yes, once we get there, this is going to be very matchup dependent. I mean, what's the least ideal path if you are going to back Denver? It's Minnesota first round, right? Is it exactly how the standings are right now? 4-5, and then they got to go play Oklahoma City the next round, and then it would be San Antonio in the Western Conference Finals. I guess that's the worst path.
Unfortunately, we lost Kelly, a bad internet over there in Circa, while we were talking about the Nuggets. So we'll just move right on and recap our best bets. But first, I wanted to say attention to any listeners who are new to VSiN. Signing up for our free daily newsletter is a great way to catch up. Delivered straight to your inbox every morning, VSiN's newsletter offers picks, data, and strategies for the day's betting menu. Sign up for free now at vsin.com/newsletter and start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That's vsin.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSiN. For me tonight, it's just three player props. I have Dylan Cardwell over 12.5 points and rebounds at -115 versus the Hornets. I have Sadiq Bey over 17.5 points at -115 versus the Knicks. And I have Rashear Fleming over 6.5 points at -118 against the Denver Nuggets. So those are the three plays that I have for this evening. Unfortunately, no sides or totals yet. Maybe I will add a parlay at some point throughout the course of the day, but as of right now, it's just those three picks for me. And then Kelly had Pelicans +9.5. That was all for him today, but he did say maybe he'll add a prop or two. So make sure you check out his work on a numbers game today. I'm sure him and Gil will be talking about the NBA quite a bit. So definitely head over and check that out on our Watch VSiN app or whatever you need to do. If YouTube TV, we have plenty of different ways over at VSiN.com to listen and watch the shows, and definitely check it out. That's, you know, one of my favorite shows that we have on the network, if not my favorite. So definitely a great one and a great resource for all bettors. But yeah, that's all we have for this Tuesday night. Only four games, not a lot to get into, but we will be back with a loaded Wednesday episode because there are a lot of games on the Wednesday night NBA slate. If you enjoyed today's NBA episode for Hardwood Handicappers, please like, rate, subscribe, comment, whatever you can do to help us out in terms of feedback. We'd appreciate it. And yeah, hopefully we get back in the win column tonight. Best of luck if you are tailing, you know, no matter what. Enjoy the games.